Thank you very much. Subcommittee on Federal Lands will come to order without objection. The chair is authorized to declare a recess of the subcommittee at any time. The subcommittee is meeting today to consider a discussion draft of forest management legislation brought forward by the chairman of the full committee, Mr. Westerman. I ask unanimous consent that the gentleman from California, Mr. Peters, be allowed to participate in today's hearing from the dais. Without objection, so ordered. Under committee rule 4F, any oral opening statements at hearings are limited to the chairman and the ranking minority member. I therefore ask unanimous consent that all other members' opening statements be made part of the hearing record if they are submitted in accordance with committee rule 3, parent O. Without objection, so ordered. I will now recognize myself for an opening statement. Today's draft legislation is the culmination of the House Committee on Natural Resources efforts this Congress to advance innovative solutions to increase the pace and scale of forest management, protect vulnerable communities from catastrophic wildfire, and restore health and resiliency to our nation's ailing forests and federal lands. Our committee has dedicated considerable time this Congress to examining this historical crisis, which has torched millions of acres, destroyed lives and communities, charred wildlife habitat beyond repair, and degraded our air and water quality. We have heard from experts and stakeholders both here in D.C. and at home, and have considered many individual pieces of legislation that form the basis of the comprehensive solution before us today. The overwhelming message that we have heard is that the removal of active forest management from our forests has caused this mess, and our present efforts to reverse the awful trajectory are not working. Despite historic levels of spending to try to address this crisis, the simple fact remains that not enough work is being done on the ground at the pace or scale that is truly needed. We know what needs to be done to fix this problem, and the important tools provided by this discussion draft would enable the Forest Service to immediately begin treatment work on millions of acres of fire-prone federal lands. This legislation will empower streamlined forest management projects to take place on a landscape scale in the areas at the highest risk for catastrophic wildfire. Across the country, over 1 billion acres of land, billion with a B, are at risk of wildfire. We need to prioritize forest management projects in the areas with the highest risk to communities and watersheds, or where the risk of severe fire is so great that there may be forest conversion. That's exactly what this legislation does. We have heard time and time again that the Forest Service doesn't need any new streamlined authorities and simply needs to use the tools the agency already has. Again, this bill does exactly that by mandating the use of streamlined authorities such as existing categorical exclusions. The bill also further incentivizes collaboration with state and tribal governments by removing inflexible requirements that limit categorical exclusions to a paltry 3,000 acres when those authorities are used in collaboration with a state governor or Indian tribe. With more than 117 million acres of federal lands at high risk of catastrophic wildfire, we cannot afford to only be taking 3,000 acre bites at the apple at a time. I'd like to highlight several of my priorities that are included in this discussion draft. First, in recognition that of the size and scope of this crisis cannot be tackled alone, this discussion draft includes several provisions that will encourage coordination and empower cross-boundary forest management with states, tribes, counties, and other stakeholders. This includes providing full partnership to tribes and counties under Good Neighbor Authority, a very successful forest management tool used in Wisconsin. Second, the bill supports the forest products industry by codifying the 20-year stewardship contracting and raising minimum threshold for advertising competitive timber sales. Since 2000, over 1,500 sawmills have closed or significantly curtailed operations across the country. In western states with large footprints of federal land, the lack of reliable timber coming from federal forests is consistently cited as a reason for these closures and curtailments. Just a few days ago, another sawmill operating in South Dakota announced 50 workers would be laid off as a direct result of reductions to the Black Hills National Forest Timber Sale Program. We know from experience that once we lose a mill, that infrastructure is gone. That locks us into a vicious cycle where federal forests go unmanaged and catastrophic wildfires are allowed to wreak absolute havoc on these landscapes. Don't take my word for it. Just last week, Forest Service Chief Randy Moore told the Senate Appropriations Committee during a budget hearing that, I can tell you with certainty, if we do not have a vibrant timber industry, we're not going to be able to manage our forests and make them healthy and resilient. Third, this bill also addresses obstructionist litigation, which remains a major hindrance to active forest management efforts. In the last decade, lawsuits seeking to block forest management projects have tied up roughly 1.8 billion board feet of timber. This proposal includes a permanent fix to the disastrous Cottonwood decision, which has been one of the most common sources of litigation blocking forest management. Finally, this discussion draft will foster greater transparency and accountability from our federal land managers. I'm pleased that my legislation, the Acres Act, is included in this bill. This provision will require land managers to produce yearly hazardous fuels reduction reports based on the actual number of acres that they treated over the past year without double counting any acreage. I want to thank all the witnesses for being here, and I am now going to recognize the full chairman of the committee, Mr. Westerman, for his opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Tiffany, and thank you, Mr. French, for being here today. We look forward to the testimony, and this is obviously a very important issue to me. We've considered this discussion draft of a comprehensive forest management bill, and I'll tell you, this is not just something that came up recently. It's a product of years of work that included site visits, working with members across the aisle, members on and off this committee, and even utilizing recommendations from the bipartisan Wildland Fire Commission report. For some reason, forests have been, over time, have become a divisive issue in our country, and I've always said that forests should be the least divisive thing that we talk about. Everybody benefits from a healthy forest. We know that we get clean air, we get clean water, we get wildlife habitat, we get places to recreate, and there's so many positive things about a forest that it's almost a bit heartbreaking that it's become a divisive issue in Congress. It's something we should all work towards. And last year, we took a little bipartisan trip up to the New Haven, Connecticut. Republicans, Democrats, folks from the Forest Service got on a train here in D.C. and went to Connecticut, and we visited the Yale School Forest, which I would contend is the oldest managed forest with records on it in the country. Gifford Pinchot founded the Yale School of Forestry, and this, I think, 8 to 10,000 acre forest up in northeast Connecticut is a model for what good forest management looks like. And some of the feedback I got after the trip was how complicated it was for the Yale folks to manage this forest, and the only thing they had to worry about was the science. You know, how do we do the management? And it was still a challenge to keep invasive species out, to restore forest health, and all they were dealing with was employing the basic best science practices. So you take those challenges and you put them on public lands and you cover that with a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of outside influences, and it becomes a very difficult job to take care of these federal lands that I think we all cherish. And I want to say how much I appreciate folks in the Forest Service who just want to do their work. They want to be able to go out and manage. They want to have healthy forests. I've had a great relationship with the Forest Service on the two national forests in my district, the Ouachita and the Ozark, and they've done some very innovative things. On the trip to Connecticut last year, we had Homer Wilkes, we had Troy Heithaker, who came off of the Ouachita National Forest. And I think it was great for us just to get out and see the forest. And that's what happens when you do that. People realize this shouldn't be a divisive issue. We've had other trips across the country. I'm glad that my friend Scott Peters is here today. He's been a strong voice and a leader on the Save Our Sequoias Act, which came about by taking a trip out to Sequoia National Park and seeing the devastation that happened in just a 2 or 3 year period where we lost about 20% of our, of the only giant sequoias on the planet that grow on the western slopes of the Sierra Nevadas. And because of catastrophic wildfire, we lost about 20% of those trees, and a tree that we should never lose to wildfire. These trees were built for fire. But if you suppress fire long enough, and the white fir and the pines grow up and the tips of them get up into the lower canopy of the sequoias and the fire comes through, that's classic ladder fuel, and it actually wiped out groves of sequoias that had survived hundreds, if not thousands, of fires in their lifetime. We can do better than that, and that's the purpose of this legislation. It's simply to give Forest Service and federal land managers the tools to go out and do the work without all the impediments that they face as they try to do the work under the current conditions. It's about developing new markets. We've got a biochar demonstration project language in here. If we don't manage, if we don't have markets to put this material into, people are going to, if they could go out and manage, the first thing they would ask us is, what do we do with all this low-value material that's coming off the forest? Pre-European settlement, the West had about 64 trees per acre. Now they're over 300 trees per acre. You can't get to 64 trees per acre overnight, and these were obviously bigger trees, but we can do a lot better than the overstock stands that we got. I could say a lot more, and I will throughout the hearing, but I want to yield time to the gentleman from California, Mr. Peters, for any opening statement he may have.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman Tiffany and Chairman Westerman, for allowing me to participate today, and my colleagues for not objecting. Thank you. I'm here because catastrophic wildfires driven by decades of poor land management and a warming planet are now the single largest source of particulate pollution in the United States, creating more than 40% of the nation's fine particulate matter air pollution. And in 2000, in the year 2020, California wildfires released more CO2 than the state's entire power sector. Wildfire smoke is more harmful to human health compared to other pollution sources, and tens of millions of Americans are at risk of experiencing high levels of exposure. Vulnerable populations like infants, the elderly, and people with pre-existing health conditions, such as respiratory or cardiovascular disease, are at higher risk of negative health effects from wildfire smoke, and extreme smoke events are already increasing emergency room visits at hospitals. So while my home state of California had a relatively quiet 2023 fire season, it follows the worst 2 years of wildfire on record, where 19,000 square kilometers of forest burns. That's 10 times the historical average, because we don't have natural fires anymore. We have catastrophes. Fires have become more intense, frequent, and widespread. They're endangering communities, watersheds, and ecosystems across the West. We have to do better. We have to do something different. And so I just am so thankful that Mr. Westerman has presented this discussion draft as an encouraging way to start to tackle the problem. And I appreciate the chairman's interest in taking feedback, hearing from those that have concerns, and working to craft the best product possible. But I encourage all those listening today to tell us how we can make the bill better. It doesn't help to just say you don't like it, that we're not going to do anything, because current conditions are intolerable. I'm not on this committee, but I made my way down here. I made some time on this, because this is a environmental catastrophe, and we can't just do the same thing. So this discussion today, we're starting off today, is absolutely essential. If you don't like what's in the bill, if you can help us make it better, let's do that. We have to preserve American ecosystems. We all have a responsibility to work together in a constructive way. There's nothing inherently about forests that has to be partisan, and that's why I like working with Bruce Westerman as we did on sequoias. Mr. Chair, before I yield, I'd like to enter into the record, without objection, a 2021 study from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in my district entitled "Fine Particulate Matter from Wildfire Smoke is More Harmful Than Pollution from Other Sources." And with that, I look forward to working with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle across all the committees of jurisdiction, but again, to see if we can't make some progress on this. save our ecosystems and save some lives. And I yield back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you for your opening comments, Mr. Chairman. And we're going to move on to our second panel. Let me remind our witness that committee rules, you must limit your oral statement to 5 minutes, but your entire statement will appear in the hearing record. To begin your testimony, please press the on button on the microphone. We use timing lights when you begin. The light will turn green. At the end of 5 minutes, the light will turn red, and I'll ask you to please complete your statement. I'd like to introduce Mr. Chris French, Deputy Chief of the National Forest System at the U.S. Forest Service. Deputy Chief French, it's good to have you back before the committee. You have 5 minutes.